Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. Happy New Year. Well, it's technically our second episode of the year. Our first episode with Pastors Dan and Jessica. How are you all doing today?
Happy New Year, everyone.
We're good. We're good to be back. Good to be back. And in a new location.
Yeah.
We changed the room that we're recording in, so.
You guys don't notice, but we do.
Yes, we do.
Well, I mean, maybe you noticed the change of
little bit different
color.
We're going to fix
more changes to come.
Gentlemen, we're going
to
fix it.
We're going to update.
Behind having Pastor Jess join us is her being able to stylistically change our studio.
We will redecorate.
We're going to look good.
Yeah, it's all good.
The men have decorated.
Which, hey, put in the comments if you've even noticed. I'm curious. Now, many of you listen.
Yes, they didn't notice.
On YouTube, in which you would never notice. Because
I listen to lots
watched.
Of podcasts, and I never watch them.
And do you ever have you ever heard how they're like, hey, put it in the – or like you notice that, oh, some people watch this. Now, I don't typically watch podcasts
because
I'm either driving or – doing errands.
There was one I was like, I need to stop listening and have to go
like
watch,
you wanted to watch
because they were talking about each other's facial expressions and stuff. And I was like, ooh, I need to see.
Oh, right.
So I went and found it on YouTube.
Okay, see, so the dynamic. Yeah. Maybe you don't even know what we look like.
Right.
Yeah.
You want to know how serious we're getting. Just kidding. Pastor Dan's always smiling.
Always.
He was taking the trash out the other day. You want to hear a funny story?
Yeah,
and some kid was walking by and he's like, hey, you look like Johnny Depp. He came inside. He goes, I don't know if that's good or bad.
I didn't know if it was a compliment or not.
Well, I liked Johnny Depp when I was a teenager.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, 21 Jump Street, Johnny Depp.
Yeah, what are we talking about here?
Edward Scissorhands would be
maybe the messy
Wonka
hair look. Yeah,
oh. Like Pirates like of the Caribbean.
A lot of different ways you could take that. Oh, maybe I can see pirates.
Pirates with a little scruff.
Did you have the scruff going?
I had a little bit more. Yeah, I shaved it, but I had a little. So maybe that's they just saw the scruff and said, oh,
it's Jack Sparrow.
Jack Sparrow.
There you go.
Very cool. Well, guys, today we're going to be talking about, well, this is on the heels of Vision Weekend, which is a very exciting time here for our church as we kind of every year. Well, maybe give us a little bit of history or background behind Vision Weekend, what that is and why that is.
Oh, man. Well, it goes back, Pastor Jim and Deborah, when they were leading the church, you know, just by the Spirit of God would every now and then just have an inspiration, and they'd say this would be the year. I remember the first one I remember was, this is going to be a year of holiness, you know. And I think we were talking about Easter at the time. And so they just made that kind of the sweeping statement. We had a year we called the Year of the Shout, where we put billboards all over the place. I think we spent close to $500,000 on advertising, television, billboards, print, media, all
Dad
that kind of stuff.
That.
And yeah, I mean, he regretted it. He said it was a waste of money and we didn't see any, you know, significant growth.
Kingdom.
We also had a year, and this was the previous year to that Year of the Shout, which was the year that we called the Year of Silence. We didn't announce that to the church, but we didn't do any big events. Right. We did just one Women Rock GNO for Christmas.
We have never canceled GNO.
Yeah, never canceled
GNO.
2020. Nope, never have.
Nope.
But yeah, so there were themes over the years and things that we've done. And so just as the Spirit of the Lord led, well, when I became the senior pastor, there was a tremendous pressure to come up with new vision. And I remember praying and asking God, what is the vision and what do you want to do? And especially coming into the new year, because I became a senior pastor in October. And so November, December, here's January, and we're supposed to cast vision for the year. And so I had put together something I called Vision Week. And I remember announcing to the church, I have no vision. Only God has the vision, you know, and it's almost like Joseph when Pharaoh came to him and said, hey, I heard that you have dreams. You can interpret dreams, you know, and he said, no, it's not in me. God can interpret your dream, though. God will give you the answer. And so I wanted to make sure that the church understood, get off of me.
Yeah.
This is not my vision. I don't drum this stuff up. This is not about what I'm doing. This is about God and what he wants to do. And so we've had different ones over the years, building a passionate house. We've had the year of love. We've had the year of
grace
and, you know, peace. You know, this past year, 2025, was the year of strength. And, you know, we've seen how that's played out. I remember 2020 was double the harvest and we thought, yay. And then the last point was double the work. And really, literally, we launched an online church in a significant way because of what happened in 2020.
Yeah.
And we saw how that vision statement actually played out into the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so each year when we've launched Vision Weekend, all it does is really frame the year, give us a theme that we're working with, that we're believing God in some areas. And as well, if there's some specific goals that we want to attain, different things. So I can say this on this podcast that, you know, coming up in 2026, it's the end of the Free and Five. You know, we had a five-year... It was kind of a soft launch campaign where we didn't do too much with it. We didn't hound people or try and get pledges or anything like that. But we just said, if you want to give an additional $200 a month, I forget how many people, it was like 1,000 people did that over 5 years, we'd be able to pay the church off. Well, we've done a great job. We've paid the amount that we started at down by half almost. And it's been a great campaign in that sense, because we've got less than $3 million on the building, which is significant, because just go to Orange County, you got $10 million houses on the beach, and this is a probably, $40, $50 million facility that we've got a $3 million mortgage on. Right. So we're sitting pretty, but we do want to take that mortgage payment and put it into more ministry. And so I'm believing God this year for a miracle. Mm-hmm. I want to see a significant amount come in this last 6 months of this campaign, and God just to overwhelm us with his goodness, and that we'll be shouting God's grace and goodness as we burn the mortgage statement. You know what I mean? Like just let's burn that note and own it free and clear. And, even if God doesn't do that, hey, praise the Lord, we're locked in. Mm-hmm. If we just keep paying our payment, I think in like 7 years, we're paid off free and clear.
Yeah.
No big deal. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's great. That's phenomenal. And in our pastorate, should the Lord tarry and should we still be here on the earth, then guess what? We're going to hand over this church to someone free and clear, the next generation, which will be phenomenal. Outstanding. I mean, that's a dream. You know what I mean? So, and I praise God that one way or the other, it's going to happen, So that's one of those things that we're looking at in the year ahead. But, and we'll talk about that as we go in church services, different things, but that just kind of shows you. And I believe with that the theme of the year will match that desire. You know what I mean? And I think we'll see God do some just wonderful things that we'll just stand in awe and go, wow, look at what God did with this year, and we can see how that lined up with the theme.
Well, and one of the ways from an outside perspective of maybe someone who's like, okay, your church has a vision, what we've seen so many testimonies over the years come in is people who take their house vision, the church that they're called to, connected to, and planted to, and they take that same vision into their own personal lives and own it as a house vision in their families.
I do it.
That's really, it's like, okay, what's the word for the year for our church?
Absolutely.
And then we put that into our families, and we see the same thing. So when we've seen strength as a church, we see strength in our families, and we wanted to incorporate that into the ministries we do. And then the fruit of the members of this church, our family members, they see that as well. So that's why it's always really exciting. It's more than just an organization's vision statement for the sake of it. It's like, man, we want to own this.
Yeah.
And again, we've had people, correct me if I'm wrong, where they're praying, they're seeking the Lord around the same time us as a church, and they kind of come up with the same vision. It's like, oh, wait, that just confirms what God was already telling me. And so it's worked really beautifully that way.
Multiple individuals have told me, Pastor, I already knew what the theme was before you said it because God gave me the same thing. And that's always a blessing.
Yeah.
One couple, the husband's gone on to be with the Lord this past year, but they would stay up till midnight praying.
Yeah.
And they were always excited for Vision Weekend because they would write down what God was speaking to them, and then they would compare notes.
Yeah.
And oftentimes they were right on track, and they said, wow, look at what God is doing in this year ahead. You know, this is a great way to start the year. And so I believe all of our members and even, our podcast listeners and viewers, you guys should seek the Lord for the year and just, write the vision and make it plain so you can run with it this year. You know, without a vision, the people perish. And I think a lot of people lose hope when they step into another year and it's the same thing, or it's the same grind or the same problems or whatever, and I'm another year older and not a year wiser, what's really happening here. But when we have a vision from God, when we have something that's driving us or something to aim at, even in the midst of adversity and trials, if we know, hey, that's what this year is about, and no wonder I'm encountering resistance, that like year of strength, no wonder I'm feeling weak, right? Because it's not gonna be my strength, it's the year of God's strength, right? And so I gotta tap into the grace that God gave me and really press into his presence and what God wants for me. And I think, we've seen that over the years in our personal lives, in the church.
It's like a building block of our vision since we've taken over as senior pastors, and it's been something that Dan has really pressed in and prayed for and really believes God for. And this last year of strength for me personally was so big because I think God does kind of like undo you once you hear it. Mm-hmm. And then he like by the end of the year shows you actually how much stronger you are. And I learned what God's strength was this year. I learned how to apply the visions from the years before with grace and peace. And like, I would tap into those things that I had learned in those years in my moments of weakness. Mm-hmm. And then I felt so much strength coming supernaturally from God. And so it really was, I think that vision gives you like a focus mm-hmm. of what God wants to highlight in your year.
Yeah.
And I do believe that God is doing something in our church. And this next vision for this next year, it can look counterproductive in a way to what the world is doing. And what we see on the news and what we see society living as. But I know God does things the opposite. He turns the world upside down. He doesn't do things the way that we think they should be done. Mm-hmm. And I think God is going to be challenging us to stretch our faith, to believe him for impossible things again. I think that God is pushing us into places where we partner with him.
Yeah.
And that there's a ability in us, not because of us, but because of the strength that we learned last year, to step into all that he has for the next piece of this year. Mm. And so I can see how God has been doing like this building block. As, as Dan and I have been graced to be the senior pastors, that there's been this building block of growth and maturity and the goodness of heaven and the kingdom of God being poured out on us in these times. And so, and it all starts through just this separation time, and I know we're going to be talking about this, but like fasting, mm-hmm. we start our year out with fasting, and we do it collectively as a church, and Dan and I actually had this year gotten together, set aside time to get the vision together. We prayed and we did kind of similar what our members did, where we just were quiet. It was so awkward. It was mm-hmm. like, this is awkward. We're in the same room. And why are we being so quiet? Like, and I'm just like, God, please speak to me. So, okay.
Yeah.
Cause I don't like silence. And so it was like the Lord was like dealing with me. And as we prayed, we both got like the same similar thing. And then we got the word and we got what God wants to, cause he's so simple. God always just gives us something very simple
very
to
simple.
Hold on to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited for this next year,
yeah.
But I do believe that the fast is once they get the vision and they're in the fast, that God's going to drop some nuggets of wisdom on mm-hmm. them. He's going to bring this vision into their world, into your families, into our church, into even the capacity of our thinking, mm-hmm. because I think that our society has kind of dulled us down and kept us in a box and wants to keep us smaller and I believe God is like going to expand us into ways and places that we will not even expect.
Yeah.
Because they're supernatural. It's not us. It's supernatural. And so I'm excited for what God's going to do in our church. And
I think it's an invitation, right? I mean, I see it as an invitation, whereas we get the vision and then in partnering and fasting, we see how God gives us the vision. And then now in our fasting, we will get the strategy on which to see that vision come to pass.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's not like this, there's the execution plan. Right. And mm-hmm. that's essentially what we're doing in fasting. So as you brought up the topic of fasting, that many people know what fasting is. Many people might already have rhythms
kinda
or practices.
Now.
Yeah. Disciplines of fast in their life. Yeah. But then there are those who are maybe new to faith, new to church language. Either one of you, maybe if you can backtrack on what a fast is, what a fast isn't, why we are calling a church-wide fast. Is that mm-hmm. something that we should be doing? Hey, I've read that scripture that says, don't tell anybody, make sure that you clean your face. What are some of the parameters, not the rules, but just some of the language that we should understand about mm-hmm. fasting?
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good question. Yeah. And especially for those that maybe are new to the faith, like you said, or never fasted before, could have been in church a long time and never had this concept brought up or experienced it. I meet so many people that have been Christians for years and years, maybe decades, never been baptized. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just where we have to get the Bible in us in a greater way. Got to get more biblically literate to learn more about our faith. The tenets of our faith, things like communion and what that really means, and mm-hmm. just some of those simple things. And fasting is one of those things that if you only read in one section of the scripture, you could get the wrong idea about it.
Yeah.
And fasting is simply abstinence of food. A biblical fast, when you take a look at it, they're not talking about, relationships or, games or different things like that. Obviously, they didn't have social media, but people are saying, I'm doing a social media fast. It's a fast. Yes, you're abstaining from something. But biblically, we see that mainly what they did was they abstained from food. Some abstain from water as well. Now, I don't suggest that. The reason why is because health-wise, in the natural, you cannot go more than 3 days without water. And if you're doing, Esther did it for 3 days. Moses in the Bible did it for 40 days, 40 nights, no food, no water, but he was in the presence of God. He walked up into the cloud of God's glory. Yeah. Yes. So that was a supernatural thing. And again, if you're just starting out with fasting, I would start somewhere small. Start somewhere, just abstinence from food. Take a meal, you know, and just say, hey, I'm going to give my lunch up and I'm going to pray. And really, that's the whole point of fasting, is that you're silencing that appetite in your life so that you can press into God, so that you can, the hunger pains will remind you to pray. And when you pray, that you can silence those appetites so that you can hear clearly the voice of God. I can't tell you how many fasts I've done that through the fast, it's like all of a sudden the Bible starts to come alive. You know, just this morning, as a matter of fact, I was reading the same scriptures that Pastor Brian read in the Wednesday night message. And it was like there was new revelation there. Even though I had just heard new revelation the night before from the pulpit, as I'm reading this morning, it was just like, wow, I'd never seen that before. And that's amazing, you know? And through those fasts, at the end of the fast, I don't know why God waits to the end with me, but it seems like always on the last day of the fast, he's like, all right, now I'm going to drop all this on you. And I'm just like, you know, trying to write fast enough to keep up. But I mean, I know that spiritually I'm more sensitive in that moment to be able to receive. And that's what fasting does. It doesn't force God to do anything. It doesn't give you better favor with him or anything. You have favor with God. Mm-hmm. Fasting is about us. It's about silencing those appetites, abstaining from those things, showing God, I'm serious. Mm-hmm. And God, you know my heart. And so God, here I'm going to abstain from these things that my body needs. We need food, right? You can't go more than 40 days without food. Mm-hmm. And that's why, again, if you're doing a fast and you're new to this, if you look it up online and things like that, even for medical fasts or for fasting for weight loss, or, you know, there's this whole intermittent fasting thing that people are doing now for health reasons. Yeah. All that's great. But even if you read those, they say, hey, be careful with this. Your body, you know, got to ease into these waters. And I would say the same thing for those of us that are trying to do this for spiritual purposes. Select a meal, select a number of days, select a type of food, you know. In the Bible, you do see different types of fasts. Mm-hmm. There were people that just had no food. Yeah. Like we talked about Esther, 3 days, no water, right? She put her life on the line in order to gain favor with the king and wanted God to move on her behalf. And so they were seeking the Lord together. But you also see, like in the book of Daniel, here's Daniel getting a word from God, gets a vision. And so he says, I decided to fast, and I ate no meat, I ate nothing pleasant to the eye, and I drank no wine. So, you know, we say no meat, no sweet, nothing good to eat, right? Yeah. That's our joking way. But for 21 days, he did that, mm-hmm. which is a significant number because it's 3/7, right? That's how you get 21, seven being the number of God, three being God, the triune God, right? Seven being the number of perfection, if you will. And so numbers in the Bible do matter. And so here we see something significant that he was seeking God. And here he does, he gives something up, but he still ate.
Yeah.
But he just didn't eat what he wanted to eat. He ate unpleasant things, you know? And so you on the podcast can decide what that is, you know, lentils or Brussels sprouts or, you know, for a lot of people, you know, there's different things they don't like.
They call that the Daniel fast.
They do call that the Daniel
fast. For me, I love all that stuff. So I'm like, that's not a fast for me. I eat that normally.
Well, what's funny is I saw like this cookbook, Tasty Recipes for the Daniel fast. Right. I'm like, get out of here. You know, that's not a Daniel fast, you know, it's not the point. Point is that you're abstaining, you're afflicting yourself, right? You're saying, I'm going to abstain, I'm going to silence this appetite of what I want. So, I mean, after December with all the sweets and treats, many times our family and especially our children, when we've asked them.
We have also brought our children into this from like
young age. Yeah.
Like, so now I don't even have to ask them, they're already fasting.
Yeah.
Like, and so now I do ask them, what are you guys fasting, you know? Mm-hmm. But like we taught them from a young age, we're going to fast something. Mm-hmm. And usually for kids, it was easy to do sugar.
Sugars.
So we did sugar for the kids. And then we said why. We would explain to them why. And then we would tell them, what are you going to believe God for this year? And we would actually ask our children, like 5 years old, like about this. And now what we have a 20, almost 21-year-old. We have a 18-year-old and almost a 16-year-old. And they're all...
Yeah, doing their fast.
Yeah, doing their own fast. They chose their own this. Yeah.
And now I've watched them do their own fast throughout the year for things that they're believing God for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cool. It's like, wow, I didn't even have to, you know, pressure them to do that. But as they were young, and the Bible says, train up your children in the way they should go. and they shall not depart from the things of God. And so I do believe that, like, we didn't even really realize that we were doing that. We were just like, as a
family, we just brought them along the journey.
This is what's happening. Yeah. If you live in this house, we're fasting.
And again, I think, like you said, it was age appropriate. It was, hey, we're just not going to have sweets, you know? And they still got to eat everything.
Yeah.
It was just, hey, we're not having ice cream. We're not having candy, you know, the cookies or whatever that was.
And they feel it. They feel like, oh, there's
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's an appetite. And it would, I mean, our bodies scream at us. When we want something, our bodies will tell us, I want that, you know? Mm-hmm. I jokingly this past weekend talked about chips, you know, and the crunch and the, you know, certain people aren't sweets, they're salty.
Right now, and I'm like, chips are amazing.
Yep. Yep.
Why'd you have to mention it?
Oh, man.
Smelling things.
Yeah.
We're early fasting, I think, because I think the rest of church is waiting for vision.
They might be waiting.
I'm starting Sunday.
Yeah. So Dan and I are already in our beginning of ours. So.
Yeah.
But then that means when everyone else is still going, you guys will be.
We're
going
to be
we're still going.
Are you going to do
that? Yeah, we're still going.
Longer. Month?
Okay. Yeah, we'd like to do a month.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the year, we like
to. I don't know how long I'm going. I've got a certain number of days that I'm doing.
Yeah.
And then after that, I'll just be led by the Lord. Again, I want to be spirit led. You know, and there were certain things that I had on my heart that I said, okay, I'm going to do those things. And like Pastor Jessica said, I'm in the middle of that right now. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, I'm still in the beginning part of that. And I finished the first phase. And so I'm starting into the second phase of that. And so this morning was amazing because I actually got to eat something. So praise the Lord for that. She's not, we're doing our own.
It's funny because we were talking about, like, because usually we like to do it together because we're in the same house and I have to cook for everybody. Yeah. So I'm like, what are you all doing? Mm-hmm. And this year I'm kind of like, let's be led.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's funny that he's doing it a certain way. I'm doing it a certain way. And even after the period that God gave me for the one that I'm on, I'm going to probably still switch it up in a different way too. It's like he is. And I'm excited about it because I know when you hear from God on a fast and how to do it, you're anointed to do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I would want to say to everybody out there about fasting. Don't do it just because we say, hey, we're calling a fast.
Yeah.
Like, get actually with God and be like, what would you like me to do, God? What is it you're asking me to give up for you? Right. And the Lord will drop things into your heart. And, you know, there's been years that God has been like, get off social media. And then I want you to not do sugar.
Yeah.
Like, there's been years that we've done no coffee. I mean, I'm not saying those were great years. They were horrible. It was very hard.
Especially the coffee.
But I will say, you were the most crabbiest.
Headaches. Coffee and meat. Yeah. And you know, that was like, I'd get angry.
You don't ever feel satisfied, like, without meat.
Oh,
without,
man.
Like, yeah.
Especially when you've been accustomed to it.
But you have to press in to be satisfied by God.
Right.
And that's the point.
And that's the point.
That's the point. And so, like, I remember one year I didn't know that I was going to get a cancer diagnosis, a breast cancer diagnosis, but I went in for a normal mammogram, never done one before. I was like, I can't believe I'm this old. This is what they're telling me I need to do. And I went in and it turned into the day of like crazy chaotic hell. They're running me into rooms. Doctors are saying if I could do surgery right now, I would. And this is crazy. And they put me in a room with a lady saying this is where they put the worst cases of cancer. Yeah. And I'm literally, because I'm like getting ready to fast. That was my first day of the fast that God had told me.
Yeah.
And I had prayed in December to find out what God wanted me to do for January. And I heard God tell me, and get ready, 40-day juice fast.
Wow.
No food, just juice. And I was like, that's nuts. I've never even juiced ever once in my life. Like, what are you talking about, God? Little did I know that the first day of my fast, I literally made my first juice. I bought a machine. Yeah. I got the recipes. I even had a friend bring me over, like, you know, fun little basket to get me going.
She really blessed you.
Yeah, she blessed me in that. And it was wonderful. I was all excited about it. And then I go to that doctor's appointment after having my first juice, and I get this horrible news. And I had no idea what God was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody I talked to after I came home after that day, because then we were waiting for the results, they would say, well, just stop the fast for now. You know, why don't you just, like, right now, let's deal with this, and then you can come back to a fast. And there was something in my spirit, man, that was like, no, this fast is for this.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, but God knew.
Mm-hmm.
And as I did it, all the tests came back different after the 40 days.
Yep.
There was no longer cancer in my body. They weren't rushing, freaking out. They did still have to do surgery to remove some things. I'm still this year believing God for that second lump to be removed.
Yeah.
And so I go in and I'm going to have another mammogram. And I'm believing at the end of this fast, because that's when I scheduled that.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, no, this is going to be my celebration that God fully healed me after 2 years.
Yep.
And so, but I believe that it was through fasting and hearing the voice of God, and then God sustained me. I remember crying on that last day of that fast. It was like I got to eat food again, and I cried because I was like, I don't want to. Mm-hmm. I want to be with you, God.
Yeah.
I felt like I wasn't going to be as close to God
because
it was so deeply supernatural. Like reading the Word of God was so highlighted. Just knowing what God wanted instantly.
I would be
driving. He'd be like, turn here, do this, go talk to that person. Go. I mean, there was so much ministry happening in that time. There was so much faith in my heart, in my life. And even in the midst of something that should have been so despairing, there was so much faith that was released. And I know that it was because I was obedient to the fast that God had asked me to do. I would not tell everybody to do that. Right. And so people have been like, oh, Pastor, I want to do what you were doing. I'm like, don't do what I'm doing because I did.
It's not formulaic.
Yeah, no.
That's because God needed me to do that. Yeah. He was using that to heal me.
And again, if you're not called to something like that, your health can be challenged in the midst of, even in a juice fast, even though you are taking in nutrients and things like that. Different people's bodies react different ways. And so, you know, you did that with wisdom and you researched it.
I did. Yeah.
Even though you knew what you were called to do, there were certain things that you did wisely, like you said,
even
with
the one
fiber.
I'm on now,
and
I've researched it and I have specific things that I'm doing in between.
And incorporate proteins. Yeah. I mean, there's just things in our bodies that we have to pay attention to and be wise about, and even exercise routines change. You know, I'm not able to do what I normally do right now, you know, so I've reduced that and even abstained from it during part of this fast just because I was weak, you know, and I don't want to hurt my body in the midst of this, you know.
I find you were tired.
We're tired.
You see in the Bible, there was times where the kings were fasting and their council was like, no, stop fasting. You need to eat. Like, you're weak, you're not able to do that. And they broke their fast.
Mm-hmm.
There was counsel involved. So it's not like the religion.
No.
We've been the religion.
Like, no, you have to push through. There, I mean, if you just, because your body will tell you, you'll justify it.
Right.
You need to be careful not to have a religious spirit.
Right.
Well, we shared the one story this past weekend. And if you didn't hear the story, go back to this past weekend's message about a fresh start and listen to the story about that. And I've told it in the past. Yeah. It's a fun one.
I've written Dan a letter.
She's forgiven me.
In case I never go to that place again.
which we haven't.
We are never going to that place again. Yes. But there's another story. I don't know if you remember this, Pastor Jess, but we had taken actually your sister and our nephews, and we went up to Joshua Tree National Park and we went hiking.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
Okay, and so this year, our fast was we're not going to eat after 7 p.m. Okay,
that was a hard one.
It was really hard. It was weird. It was like we got to eat whatever we wanted during the day,
but we were hungry.
7 p.m. It was like all of a sudden the hunger pains came on.
We never could get to dinner by 7 for some reason.
It was crazy. I was like, man, no one eats this late. And then I'm thinking, this is going to be an easy fast.
We're being babies about this fast. I remember thinking that.
And then it was like 7 p.m. rolls around. We haven't had dinner and we're all mad at each other. Yeah. So we drive into Joshua Tree National Park. It's my sister-in-law and her boys, their first time going there. It's a beautiful day. I mean, and I'm so excited.
I like that kind of thing.
I'm a national parks guy. I love it.
Nope.
Even that one. I mean, it's amazing. It looks like an alien landscape. The rocks are huge. You know, if you live in Southern California, haven't been to Joshua Tree National Park, go.
He wants people to go with, because I won't go with him anymore.
Yeah, she won't go. So, but for hiking and all
that
kind of stuff,
rock
climbing. All those rocks. All those rocks. This is the rock church. But anyways, so we drive around, we do a nice big hike, and there's a way you can do the loop where you go from the north side of the park down to the south side of the park, come out around Indio, and then head back into the desert. I figured, you know, we're going to do this hike, we'll drive down, we'll go get dinner somewhere, and then we'll head home. Perfect day, right?
Yeah.
Well, it ends up, for some reason, taking longer. I don't know why.
I misjudged the timing that it took to drive through.
Because the speed limit is like 30 miles per hour, 35 miles per hour, something, most of the park, right? And so.
And Dan is a rule follower.
7 o'clock rolled around. We were still in the car.
Oh, yeah.
Driving back.
So,
oh, my.
Because we had hiked all day, too.
Oh.
And so I was.
Yeah,
like,
we used up all of our calories.
we were starving.
I don't remember. Did we break the fast that night?
Yeah,
I think we did.
I think we had Mexican food.
Yeah.
So you opted not to be religious about
it. Somewhere in India, we found a little dive and just ate some burritos.
Well, I do want to go back quickly because, you know, as we close the conversation, I think with going into a fast, eyes wide open and knowing what it is that you're doing, why it is you're doing and what you're not doing. And you touched on it, Pastor Jess, but you did as well, Pastor Dan. But as the encouragement and takeaway for the people listening is that, and again, I want to make sure I'm highlighting the right thing, and you identified that I want to be sensitive to the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. And I think that's what I always enjoy about the fast is I never enjoy the hard part on my body.
Yeah.
But I love the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and that I'm fully reliant on Him sustaining me.
Yeah.
Right? My sustenance is not from what I consume, what I give myself, but rather I'm being sustained by the Holy Spirit and the sensitivity to His voice. You're almost like, oh.
It'd I would say like that we clear. Should not play pickleball right. until this thing is over.
Right.
Oh, come on.
Because we're you're just so hearing, like you hear it and it's like, oh man, there's the beauty yes. of that. And you're in a richness. And that's what you're talking about. We're not trying to do it for God. Look at me, how spiritual I am.
Right.
No.
But rather we're bringing ourselves to Him.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I love that part.
As a sacrificial like offering of like, here I am, God. Mm-hmm. What do you need me to do?
Yeah.
Because my life is not my own. My life is for you.
Yeah.
So as a Christian, you know, I think we get this idea of like, what is God going to do for me?
Yeah.
But I think in the fast, it's like us showing ourselves, wait a second, I'm here for Him.
Yeah.
And we got to switch our thinking in that way. And in that surrender of our flesh, we have to rely on the Spirit of God to sustain us. And that's such a special time.
Well, so bring your questions. Bring your... what you want from God, right? In the sense of the questions we want answered, the guidance that we need, what we're believing for, and bring that to the table and ask God to guide us through that, right?
Journal.
And so many people get, hey, I was getting, like you said, I was getting the direction, I got the plans, I got what I'm doing, I got my financial plan, I'm going to save my marriage or my children that are walking away from God. I want the direction and the guidance to go through this.
Make
and
a prayer list for yourself during this fast. Journal during the fast. Give yourself a reading plan during the fast for the in the Bible, you know. For me, the 40-day one, I had a little devotional. It was a 40-day devotional by the Passion Bible. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I was getting, like, every day I would be in tears, just crying, weeping before God because it was so beautiful. It was just scripture, but the way that they had written the scripture – it was just so beautiful. And I don't know, I told Dan this morning, I gave it to somebody and now I don't know where it is and I wish I had it back. And, but it was just so, God will speak to you in such an intimate way.
Yeah.
And so people that maybe feel distant from God, that could be a very beautiful way to bring a closeness to God. But I do want to give one warning before we close up this. There have been times I have fasted and wondered why I was being so attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And when you fast, you're actually opened up to the demonic attacks. And so be aware of that so that you're alert and aware. You know, the Bible says to know your adversary, know what he's seeking you and whom he may devour. Mm-hmm. And so if things are coming at you, that's because he's trying to get you off your off the block. He's trying to get you out of your game. He's trying to get you off of what God is doing, and he's trying to bring discouragement, despair. He's trying to bring, he'll bring every lie back. He'll bring every false accusation back. He'll bring every bad relationship issue back. He'll bring all of those things. And so if you notice like, oh, this is kind of weird. Why is this happening? I feel so attacked right now. Remember what season you're in. You're fasting.
Yep.
And so be aware of that attack. And in the name of Jesus, I bind that. You are not going to have power over me. I am covered by the blood of the Lamb. And speak over yourself and begin to pray faith prayers over yourself. And pray for yourself during the fast. Because I think a lot of times people pray for everybody else during their fast. But actually pray for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for strength. Pray for courage. Pray for the power of God to move in your life. Pray God to bless you. Mm-hmm. Pray these things over yourself because that's where you're going to strengthen yourself in this.
Yeah. That's good. Amen. Pastor, any closing thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned these things. Don't be religious. Don't be too hard on yourself. Start small, you know, and know that you're going to be attacked. But I think the one thing that I didn't mention is just to enjoy it. You know, we talked about the closeness. We talked about the richness. And there are definitely some great memories from our fasts. You know, we've got some highlights. I've got notes that when I go back and look at what God spoke to me during my fast, I'm like, amazed. And so, you know, like you said, it's never fun to abstain from food. It's never fun to deny yourself. But at the same time, what is fun is having a close relationship with God. Yeah. And there's nothing greater. He's our bread, right? He's our water. He's our sustenance. You know, Jesus said, my flesh is food indeed, right? Mm-hmm. And we can feed off of him, feed on his faithfulness. And that's really what the fasting is we're seeking his face. We're seeking that closeness, that intimacy. And you know, like we said, pray for yourself. Ask God, what do you want from me? But I love the quote. I don't know who said it, but Pastor Deborah has been quoting it, that a servant has the right to know their master's desires. Mm-hmm. So, God, what do you want from me? Yeah. And also, God, what can I expect from you?
Yeah.
You know, like, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. But what are you going to do? You know, give me the vision for me.
It's
a relationship. So we together, God, you know, and God may give you a big picture. He may give you a small picture. Either way, thank God he gave you a picture, right? Yeah. And just enjoy that richness and that closeness and carry that as you break the fast, you know. And again, if you're first time fasting, come off that fast easy. Don't just start with the heavy foods and things like that. Starting with some toast, you know, some yogurt, light foods,
ease
you know.
Yourself.
We talked about juices and things like that. Those are great ways to ease yourself back into the waters. Don't start with a big heavy meal, you know, and come back in. But as you come back in from fasting and you break that fast, still seek God's face. Still seek that closeness. Yeah. You can have it even outside of a fast. Mm-hmm. You know, the fast enhances us, but it doesn't mean we have to go back to dullness. We can stay in that fullness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was beautiful. Well, thank you guys. Thank you all. We are excited to hear of the great, beautiful testimonies, and let's incorporate the vision. If you're part of this house, let's run with this vision and make it plain, bring it to our families. And we're here in this together. We love you guys. God bless you. Like, comment, share, subscribe. We always love getting your feedback at the back door. This last weekend, always getting encouragement. So we love you guys. Continue to do it. Love you. God bless you.
God bless you.